Otherwise, everyone's got to stand up.
Okay, shall we start? This is a round of challenges and transitions in the session. Let me introduce Cathy Benson from the University of Edinburgh, who will be talking, as you can see, dissertation writing course perspectives. Remember, the talk should last 20 minutes. We've got 10 minutes for questions at the end. Okay? And just to remind you, all these sessions have been recorded. Oh, we just had an influx. That was a good time.
I'll be stuck in the wrong bit.
Oh, hi. Are we okay? There's some seats over here.
I don't get to see
it. No.
Somebody can have someone can have my seat if they want.
Honestly, I spent one day sitting down. If it's okay with you.
Yeah, no, I don't mind. Writing first year reports. Actually, it's quite hard to find these. Most departments don't seem to give students too much guidance about how to produce this document. And they range greatly then. we're still talking about this previous course. He used Swales' framework for developing the course. He recommended on the ethnographic front. All he really did was contact supervisors. He didn't actually meet them or work in their departments or anything like that. He looked for materials, found there were no materials available anywhere for teaching such a course, so it was necessary to start from scratch. And he devised tasks. He analysed the exemplars of the genre that he received from these supervisors, and he devised language learning tasks to go with them. He included the slide about Swales' definition of a task, just to remind us all that it's a slightly different definition of task than used in task-based learning, for example. Okay, so the stages. First stage, he looked at the macro structures of these first year reports and found that they nearly all contained these five basic elements, although often with different names. And this was from a big range. We're not talking about ESAP yet. These range from biology to qualitative sociological reports, but they all seem to contain these elements. Half of them contained introductions, so he also included a section on introductions. But they didn't usually have abstracts and conclusions, so he didn't include those in his course. Second stage, he looked at patterns of organisation within each element of the text. He took generalisable ones which he thought were teachable. And for example, in the literature review, these were the typical organisational patterns that he found. Okay. Then the next stage, so we're going sort of macro to micro here, I think. He selected extracts from the sample good dissertations to include in the materials for analysis, looking for good, short, clear examples. And also some extracts he included which deviated from the principles he wanted to highlight, just to emphasise that there wasn't a totally rigid structure that they had to follow. I've actually got, Kenneth's written a much longer account of this course design, which is one of the handouts which you can take away. So I'm gabbling a bit to get onto the course that we devised together. And the fourth stage was looking for linguistic features, typical linguistic features in the different sections of the text. So I'll just let you, I won't read everything off the slide, I'll just give you a minute to, half a minute rather, to look at. These are the language features that were included. And this. It was most of the tasks were kind of discovery tasks, looking for the samples of the language in the text. But he also included his typical language features boxes. Okay, and in class, students worked through the analysis of structure and language, drafted bits of the section they were focusing on, and maybe if there was time for peer feedback in class, that happened. Otherwise, they went home and wrote their introduction, for example, and sent it to Kenneth for comment. In the internal mail in those days, I think. So that was the UR course, if you like. So last year, we decided to set up a dissertation writing course because it was one thing that was lacking. We had quite a range of courses that we offer, but we have nothing about dissertation writing, and obviously it's a crucial genre. And this was our first course, and it was specifically situated in the School of Education. And we attempted to follow a, a CEM approach, but whether we succeeded totally, I think we might have partially succeeded. Just as a reminder, in case anybody, I'm sure you are all familiar with CEM, but just as a reminder, the model, so important. So contextualization, so that being specific, to a context, to a particular context. Embedded, being integrated into a program, and mapping is to do with really the timing, whether the timing of what they write fits in with the timing of their assignments. So, this course was for master's students enrolled in the Murray House School of Education, and we followed a similar procedure, with much more consultation. We had lots of face-to-face meetings with program directors. Another main difference was that it was specialised, not generic, but with a bit of a caveat, because the School of Education actually includes sports sciences as well, which made it, that was a little bit anomalous, but we didn't want to exclude any School of Education students from the course. We have a very good relationship with the School of Education. We're on the same campus. I run the pre-session course for the TESOL Masters. We supervise master's students on TESOL, and we do some PhD supervision as well. We do some teaching on the masters, and we're invited to at least to the TESOL induction. So especially with the TESOL program that we have very, we have a very good relationship, but with more generally as well. We're invited to the induction of the TESOL program. And crucially, the head of postgraduate studies, who kind of oversees all the masters and PhD supervision, he is very keen on what we do. He's very enthusiastic and supportive, and he really vigorously promotes all our offerings. So that's very helpful. I think what Sloan and Porter called a champion in this sense. So we're not exactly embedded in the School of Education, but I was thinking we're perhaps more kind of enmeshed with them than embedded, I don't know. But as I say, especially with the TESOL programme. Okay, so we had discussions with programme directors of these master's programmes. It was more difficult than we expected. We'd kind of hoped to get a meeting where they would all come and sit round together, and that just wasn't going to happen because they were all busy at different times, so we ended up with individual one-to-one meetings, but that was fine. And separate, slightly separate, these programmes actually, which are all in the sports section, they actually don't write a traditional dissertation, they write a journal article with commentary. So we actually had a separate class for them, and a colleague wrote the materials for that, because the genre was totally different and we realised that what we were doing wasn't going to help them. The requests, when we talked to the programme directors, we asked them what kind of problems their students had and what they would like us to help them with. This was the range of points they came up with. Mainly, I have to say, from the TESOL and Language Masters program directors, because I suppose they're most aware of language and text and so on. But most people agreed, I think, that the discussion was actually the section that students found most difficult. So we tried to emphasise that partly. Okay, so writing materials. We used this original course as a kind of starting point, but only as to inspire us rather than anything else, because the genre of the dissertation diverged quite a lot from the genre of the first year report. So we analysed the sample dissertations. And they were all, we asked for what they considered to be good dissertations again. We received about 15, but they were mainly from the language master's courses, programs, so they were a little bit skewed perhaps. So looking for the typical language, selecting extracts, creating the language boxes that I've mentioned, and devising tasks. I have got an extract from a unit as a handout as well, and depending on how many questions you have or not, we can look at materials, because I have them on the memory stick as well. We chose students whose grades were brought down by this criteria of constructing academic discourse. It's one of the six criteria that I use for assessing assignments in the School of Education. So failing and borderline students were the priority, and then we gave any spare places on a first-come, first-served basis. There were 80 places altogether. And well, we emphasise this because sometimes I think some lecturers think we can perform magic and solve any problems that students have. And so we had to say, you know, make sure if students are having problems with maybe with their academic writing, with language, with conventions, but we can't actually, if their problems are mainly to do with their with content, we can't really, well, it's not our role, let's say, not we can't, but it's not our role to help with that. So we try to make that criterion very clear. 2 hours a week for 5 weeks. These were the units, which corresponded to the guidelines for dissertation writing and to the samples that we saw. More combined results and discussion that didn't. So we combined that as one unit. And in class, they analysed the extracts and did tasks, drafted sections, and then sent them to us by email, and we gave them feedback in the following session. There was actually a huge amount of material. We created far too much material to get through in the sessions, but I don't think that really mattered because I think they were usable enough for independent study. And some tutors said, well, if you want to just send me 5 versions of your introduction, that's fine. So it was a little bit flexible. The students who didn't get a place, we made the materials available on the learning platform, and we presented some highlights of the course at a dissertation training day for all of the students. So was it CEM? Well, we thought, I don't know, you can disagree. I guess mostly it was specific. I thought this was quite a useful chart from Fenton Smith. I thought, actually, okay, it's field specific because it's education. It's maybe not even discipline specific because it was for the whole School of Education. It certainly wasn't for one specific program or course, but it was specific to, on the other hand, it was specific to one assignment item. So I think we sort of ticked the box for specificity, I think. As I say, we're partially embedded, but it certainly wasn't timetabled on their programme. On the other hand, most of the programme was very strongly encouraged us to take the course. It was presented very much as an opportunity. It was not presented as remedial. It was presented as, you know, this is an opportunity for you. And most of them were delighted to be offered the opportunity. And when we opened it up, we got far more applicants than we could actually offer the course. It was partially mapped, but not entirely, in that the results and discussion and conclusion units came too soon for most of them, and we can't really change that apparently because of timetabling in our own unit. So in some cases, well, they were, a lot of them were actually invented in order to do the assignment and get some feedback on their writing of results and discussion. They were actually inventing some results, but they most of them didn't mind. But that was one of the few kind of slightly critical comments, was that they would have really liked to be writing the assignments for us at exactly the same time as they were writing for their real dissertation. So, 1 minute, okay. These were the kind of, we evaluated in various ways. The student evaluation, very heartwarming. They all said it would definitely help them. There was a certain attrition rate, not so much dropouts, but people who dropped in, who kind of popped in and out, and we only actually got 43 final evaluations. They particularly appreciated the literature review and methodology, because the literature review is most difficult, and methodology, they simply had no... So those are their comments on the literature review, which you can read later. Methodology, they had no idea how to write a methodology section, so they found that particularly helpful. General comments, they were very, very positive on the whole, apart from a few little niggles about timing and so on, as here. Wonderful 8.5 average out of 10 for their overall evaluation, of course, so we were very happy. The teacher feedback, I guess we don't, but if you're interested in the teacher feedback, we can come back here. The head of postgraduate studies was delighted with the course, and one of the program directors gave us some very nice feedback as well. Of course, that's all very nice. It's all very nice when the students and the program directors and the head of postgraduate studies say the course was wonderful. But we thought, well, the program, TESOL program director and myself thought it would actually be really interesting to look numerically a little bit. Can I finish the sentence? It's a long sentence, but it's a sentence. So we found that, the three students who actually failed, two of them did our course, but they had personal problems. The program director assured me it wasn't really to do with English. One cheated, so unfortunately she was awaiting her result. And then five of the 25 distinction grades were achieved by students on the course. One of them had been getting scores of 52 or 53 throughout the program, and then she got 72 for her dissertation, so that was wonderful. Of course, we're not taking all the credit for this at all, but it was very, it was really good for the student. And then just a tiny kind of very crude measure, I did a t-test comparing students who did the dissertation course and students who didn't, and found no significant difference between the two groups. So obviously, ideally, you would want the ones who did the course to get significantly higher scores, but given that they were starting off as being really at the bottom end of the TESOL programme, the fact that by the time they had received the marks for the dissertation, they were actually on the same level as the students who had been scoring better throughout the year, that was actually a very satisfactory finding, I think. So I'm very sorry for gabbling and going over time, but if you have any questions or comments or criticisms, or you would like to look at any of the materials, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Yes.
You said most of them were TESOL examples. You had a few other
examples. Yes.
Did you notice tremendous differences?
No. Fortunately, because in the end, we had to write one course for all except the ones who were writing the journal article. I think the main difference that we noticed was that in subjects like dance science, they did have separate results and discussion section. But fortunately, they were similar enough. We couldn't use extracts from one or two of them because it became a bit clear to me that they hadn't actually asked the students' permission. So we did limit ourselves to using examples
using samples from students who are definitely given their permission for their work to be used, of course.
So to follow up on that, did you find that because they're TESOL essays, they kind of, the tutors as well, followed the rules and promoted a very strict structure because they're TESOL, or so was there much variation from that expected pattern?
That's a very interesting question. I think they try, the TESOL lecturers try not to be, most of them try not to be too rigid, I think. But they do tell them things that I was struck that they've been told that they mustn't introduce any new literature in when they were presenting the results and discussion. And I said, but if something new arises, if they're doing qualitative research, shouldn't they actually save the discussion of the relevant research to the discussion section? That was my understanding anyway. So they said, oh well, yes, I suppose you're right. So
What was the language background of
the students? The vast majority were Chinese. The vast majority, yeah. There were a few, certainly on the language masters and the, I think the education, more general education masters, were the vast majority were Chinese. On the sports related masters, there was a much bigger range. There were quite a lot of Europeans. And bearing in mind what Ursula Wingate just said, we did not close the doors to native speakers. We were asked, would we take native speakers? And we said, well, you know, if you have native speakers that you want to refer, yes, absolutely. Because the dance science program director said that some of the students on dance science are people who, you know, they maybe left school when they were 16 and they've been professional dancers and they haven't done an undergraduate degree. So actually, she said that they're finding academic writing at postgraduate level very difficult. I mean, you know, as the whole issue of academic literacy, because they didn't have even an undergraduate.
And did they come into positive?
They did. I mean, we did warn them that there would be you know, quite a large language element, and I don't think they attended very well. But we also said, well, use the independent study materials, and then you can skip the bits that aren't relevant to you, but still, and you can still send the assignments. If you're assigned to a class, you can still send the assignments and get feedback.
How did they do? Do you know? Can you extract them?
She did give me details, but she told me that everybody had done well in their dissertation. So, yeah. And then there was another program director who said, she had a couple of American students, and she said that she felt that, like, British academic literacy was a bit different from American, and that maybe their style was too informal and a little bit superficial, so could they come? And actually, one of them did, but she was collecting data somewhere else, so she just sent assignments. But, yeah, so we certainly... we didn't kind of exclude anybody who the program directors wanted us to support. Yeah. Anybody else?
Final question.
I know it's particularly quantified. I'm just wondering, in terms of kind of man hours, I don't want a number really, but how long does it take to put that course together? Because reading through all of those samples and extracting the examples must be incredibly time-consuming, very useful. But I just wonder, was time allocated for that, and away from teaching?
I think we're very lucky in that we have a line manager who's very he's very keen to give development time when he thinks a project's really worth doing. He will give you know, good chunks of time.
And was it a long project?
It was quite. Well, we did, let's say, in the spring semester, we did all the contacting early on, maybe January, February. We had all the conversations with the program directors. And then March and April, we wrote the course.
But we were doing lots of other things as well, so it wasn't like we were just dedicating time to the course, but we did have good chunks of time to do it. Yeah. And there were actually three of us all together, so we divided the time. So, yeah, it was fun actually.
Okay, so we'll just stop there. Thank you very much, Catherine.
So there's
from University of Glasgow, joining up the dots.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll, it's 20 minutes, so I'll tell you after 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 minute.
Okay.
And then 10 minutes for questions.
It's going to be a struggle to get it in. My best.
Yeah.
Where is this going?
It's just down there, the computer. So just. Yesterday?
I came down by train, but I used to live in London 30 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Kind of in this area. So I took
you lived
a walk.
In this area?
I lived sort of on the corner of Grazing Road and Clerkenwell Road, about a 20-minute walk. So
yeah.
I sort of came early and had a wander around, which was really interesting to see how things have changed and in some cases not changed.